As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
I lead you to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years on a 50-win season. Another 50-win season, and this is the thanks I get. I'm fired. Makes you think. You know, it happens in hockey, things like this. Sometimes the Knicks went farther than they've gone in a long time, and, you know, the coach is out.
Tough racket.
Sal Capaccio with us now on the Wester Hotline. We'll get to the events of the day, but I'm sure you'd find that interesting too, Sal, right? I mean, as closely as you may or may not follow the Knicks or the NBA, you know, you get this sometimes, and there are Sean McDermott comparisons. We had it with the Leafs and the Bills, and here with the Knicks. Like, the idea of a coach only being able to take you so far. I guess we'll never know if this guy could have done better with the Knicks, and we'll judge it based on whoever replaces him and how that goes. But this continues to be somewhat of a topic of conversation, not probably within the Bills, but about them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you want to relate to Sean McDermott, I can see the parallels. And people asking, I always bring up the comparison. I was living in Florida when this conversation was going on with Tony Dungy. And I would say the same thing, which is, oh, my gosh, like, look what this guy's done for you. He's taken you to the NFC Championship games. The team was terrible, right? An organization and franchise for so long. And they did actually get rid of him, and they brought in John Gruden. They won a Super Bowl the next year. We know the Andy Reid comparisons, the same thing in Philadelphia. Not apples to apples. It never is, especially when you talk about a different sport, different dynamics. I would say this, though, guys. I have not read anything inside about, like, what's happened today. Maybe you have. Maybe you know more details. I've been engrossed with, you know, Bill's OTAs today. But I saw the headline, and the first thing I thought of was there's got to be more to just that part of it, right? There's got to be more to just he's taking us as far as he can go. Maybe that could be it. But to me, it's got to be, oh, there's some internal strife. There's a disagreement on how to build the team, what to do going forward, things like that.
Yeah, one of the first things that I brought up when talking about it, you know, hockey, basketball, especially basketball, I mean, you've got so few players. The coaching staffs, I'm sure, have gotten bigger over the years, but still, how many assistant coaches does Sean McDermott have? 30? 25? Like, there's a lot of people there, systems in place, and all that sort of stuff. And because there's such a small number of players, the star players carry a lot more weight. Right. So you only have 12 exit meetings to do, or maybe you don't even do exit meetings with the guys who are like bench guys. You probably do, just to be thorough. But one star player says something about the coach and not liking something, and I think you could get a GM or an owner to go like, all right, we got to make a change. That's it. The star player, you know. And I don't know that any of that happened either. I haven't read deeply on it either. That news broke right as our show was starting.
Well, the one thing we did have is the star player Brunson, like, walking off the set to a question about whether they had the right coach. You know, like, he would just not listen to that.
Right.
So we at least have that in the Knicks case.
Right, and that could be positive or negative. That could be, I don't want to tell you how I really feel, so I'm going to walk away criticizing the coach, or I'm tired of sticking up for this guy, and I don't want to take the question. But either way, it's very different than football, is all I'm saying, Sal, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. I think you go back to Michael Jordan, right? Basketball, I think, has been always more like this than any other sport. You know, man, his name escapes me. You guys might know. This is what happens when you're getting older, who Jordan's first coach was.
And Doug I remember Collins.
Doug Collins. Thank you, Mike. And that was it, right? It was like kind of this, well, it wasn't the right coach for Jordan, and that was the talk. And then same thing with Kobe Bryant over the years with a couple of – Allen Iverson was famous with this, right? Like, it wasn't the right coach for him. Or, you know, and these basketball organizations, the NBA, have always seemed to really kind of go in the direction of whatever the star player wants. Now – you could probably say that about football. Is that what happened with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers? Mm-hmm. Not really sure, right? I mean, like, you could definitely get there with some football scenarios. I think there was a thing with John Elway and Dan Reeves, actually, towards the end of their tenure together. So, but basketball has been more like that than football is.
It's all, dare I say it, it's almost like relationships, too. You know, like, I feel like I've gone as far as I can go with you, right? Just I've grown as much as I think I can with you. Anyway, tough business. All right, Sal.
I mean, that's the Stephon Diggs Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Yep.
A couple years ago, right? I think that there was a recognition, for right or wrong, whatever happened behind the scenes, that I think both sides agreed that, like, they couldn't go any farther with each other.
Yeah, fair enough. So, to the present-day Bills... No Josh Allen at practice.
What an outrage.
Yeah, sure. What does that look like? I mean, he's such a presence, and so much would revolve around him in these practices. Is it strange to watch them without him there?
It is a bit strange. He brings, like you said, I think that's the right word, Mike, presence. It's not just his ability. His presence out there. You know, with these OTAs, by the way, you have... There are some people like who are like some, I guess you say, corporate sponsors or however they want to phrase it, you know, like some partners or whatever, that mm-hmm. there's some people on the sidelines. And I'm thinking, you know, some people out there today and they don't get to see Josh Allen, right? Like, they go out there. That's probably the first guy they want to see, anybody, when they go out to practice, right? So you think about it from that dynamic a little bit. Like, he's the show. And, yeah, we're out there watching. We know Josh Allen's the starting quarterback. I'm not watching to see if there's – you know, some quarterback battle, but I watch Josh Allen every day.
Yeah,
I watch his movements. I take video of him and throwing and how he's interacting with his coaches and his teammates. It's always just something that's always there that you watch. And then you get to the on the field part of it. And I wrote about it today and just posted at WGR550.com. I tweeted about it, which is like, there's just a noticeable difference in the offense without Josh Allen. Now, granted, there's no pads. They have helmets on. No, they're not hitting each other, and you're not taking quarterbacks down to the ground anyway. But there were several times where I think it just would have been a sack when I don't think it would have been if Josh Allen was there, because you just see the difference in getting rid of the ball, making right. the play earlier, making the read earlier, and getting the ball out of your hands. And that was definitely noticeable today.
Right. Yeah, the processing. To succeed, I mean, Allen gets a ton of credit, rightly so, for his athleticism and like the raw skills, the talent that he came here with and has honed as well as he has, but you got to have the quick mind and like know where you're going, and all that stuff has to click into place. Otherwise, those athletic gifts aren't going to get you anywhere. So, yeah, I mean, that's a big difference between a backup caliber player and a starting player at that position, is how quickly they can decide what's happening.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there was no James Cook, but I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, what a difference without James Cook. Now, listen, that doesn't take away anything from James Cook, right? But the offense just runs, you know, still as kind of efficiently when you hand the ball to Ray Davis behind that O-line. And I know the bigger picture, could be an indictment, I guess, the way I say that, on James Cook. But you guys get the point. There's just a big difference because these guys, they rotate anyway, right? It's not like you see James Cook on the field 100% of the time making all these plays. Sometimes he's not on the field. So, you know, you see that difference without Josh.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on WGR. I'm starting to hear mostly the same point made about Maxwell Hairston. the Bills' first-round pick, cornerback out of Kentucky, which is, I'm thinking of Mina Kimes, I'm thinking of different analysts who seem to just be hitting this one point around that he's boom-bust. It's an important mm-hmm. it's an important position, and I don't know what exactly it means. Like, is there something about his style of play? Probably there is, that have people, or at least some people, in this state of mind, which is like, I don't know, there's upside, but also maybe downside here. Is that close to how you see it?
I would say so. I describe this draft class, especially because of Max Harrison, but others, as kind of the biggest swing type of class the Bills have had, meaning they've taken the biggest swings, but with those swings might come some, you know, risks involved. And I think it's a really good question when you say, what does that mean, boom or bust, with a lot of guys, right? And then you listen to Tre'Davious White talk about Max Harrison today. It's a good question. I think the best way I would describe it, and I do agree that it can be like that, which is he has all these amazing athletic traits. But a guy like that, he's always been the best athlete on the field wherever he's gone. He's been the fastest player. He's probably been the best player with the best hands and all these kinds of things. So a lot of times guys like that just aren't refined. And it's how much you can refine them. And if they can dial in on those, it's really the margins. If they can get in on the margins, then, okay, that's just something that he's going to have to do a little better than he never had to do. He could make up for it at Kentucky. You know, there was a lot of talk when he was drafted about how, even I think Brandon Bean said, like, if he got beat, he closed and made up the play, right? That's not going to happen at the NFL level like that, guys, right?
Right.
You're going against these incredible wide receivers. So he's going to have to learn and put himself in a position where that doesn't happen, because he can't just say, I'm just going to make it up because of my speed. And then, like, today, I will tell you, like, it was an uneven day for him, I thought, today. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there was a play where he's in good position on Tyrell Shavers. But Shavers is taller, and the ball was thrown nicely. I don't remember who threw it. It's kind of over the middle, running towards maybe the right sideline, and Shavers goes up and grabs it over him. And you're like, man, Harrison had good coverage there, but, you know, maybe in college he makes that play because he's not going against an NFL wide receiver who's got the skill and the height that over he does like that. There was another time where he had to, like, I heard the coaches barking, and whoever was at safety kind of yelled to Max to kind of move over, move up, like kind of put him in a position. Those are things maybe in college he could get away with. And I think the boom or bust comes in where, boy, if he gets those things, you coach him and he's coachable, he understands that, and those things come together, you're looking at a really high-level player because all that other stuff is already there. But if you don't get that and that doesn't come together, then those mistakes are going to magnify at this level.
Yeah, I boom or bust, when I hear that phrasing, I think this is a guy that's going to want to gamble.
Yeah.
Right, like I'm gonna want to jump routes, that kind of,
especially right.
Right, yeah, right, right. And I I guess I want to say I welcome that. I mean, I know that there is a downside to it. You know, the bust comes, and that can be a busted double move, and the guy's open, and that's it. It's over. Touchdown, easy throw. But man, I think the idea of having a guy that will take chances. I liked Rasul Douglas for this when he first got here. And then last year, it just never really popped again. I don't know if he was just not the same player that he had been before he got injured late the season prior or what happened. But I like a guy that's got a little gambler in him back there.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't disagree either, Bulldog. And I'll say partly because we haven't seen that from the corners other than that eight-game sample of Rasul Douglas, you know, when he first got here. You're right. You know, the Bills have always drafted, and this is part of my point when I said, when the Bills drafted this year, I said, I think they've taken swings this year. Whereas, I think in the years past, the Bills have really drafted for the floor. And I'm not telling you they went out and consciously did this, but to me, it seems like the players they got in years past, when you go through their draft history, boy, they've just really got guys who could add to the depth, who have good floors. They develop. Mm-hmm. You have a sixth-round pick in DeMar Hamlin who's going on a second contract. That's a really good pick in the NFL, right? I mean, like, there are guys, Jaquan Johnson lasted 4 years in this league. Like, those are good, solid draft picks that you get that have these higher floors. But what's the real ceiling on guys like that? Now you get a guy like Max Harrison, to me, boy, he's got that ceiling. But, boy, you got to be ready for, is that floor going to be higher? Because the floor could actually be lower because of everything that right. you just said. And that's, I think, where the boomer bust comes in. And that's why I think this year they went a little bit more of a, okay, we're going to go for the higher ceiling, but with that ceiling does come a chance for a lower floor when it doesn't go right.
Still no team for Douglas, by the way, like Amari Cooper, has not signed with anyone here this offseason. Sal, I learned, as I mentioned to our guest earlier, Rich Rebar, a new term today called a Morrell-Lavalley lesion, a quote, uncommon, end quote, right knee injury from Dalton Kincaid. We knew there was something. We had, what, Dawson Knox after the season talking about Kincaid maybe playing with a torn ligament as well. I guess I'm not sure this is anything new to you. To me, it's like it's more than I thought it was and maybe a little bit scary for what his future might be, but I don't really know if I'm right in that respect. How much of a talking point for you is Kincaid and his knees?
It's not been as much from me. It is from a lot of fans. I get it. You know, I posted a picture today of Dalton and Dawson standing next to each other, and Dawson's got a bit of a wrap, like, on his knee. I put some tape. His knee is taped up, but it's not a big deal. Like, he's just got some tape. And Dalton's got a
full-length wrap on his one leg, right?
Yeah, well, it's a compression sleeve.
Right, right,
but,
okay.
But Bulldog, that's what's happening is, you know, pulled up, people are looking at it and going, wait a minute. Okay, like, I thought he was fine. Like, why is he wearing a compression sleeve? And as you know, athletes wear compression sleeves. It helps with blood flow and all these different kinds of things. But it could be because, you know, he's thinking, okay, I got to do this to be a little bit more protective for whatever reason. And I think that when that happens, I think what's happening is every single picture and video I know that I put out or anybody else does about Dalton Kincaid is getting so scrutinized and analyzed. Is he bigger? How much bigger is he? How is he moving right now? Does he have his knee wrapped? Does he have tape on something? So I do think it's a big talking point. My thought is just someone who covers the team who's around it every day is it's May. He had an injury he went through last year. They have a medical staff that's trained and it's going to be working with him. We heard even today he's living in the weight room all year. When we get to August in training camp, and then especially when you get into the season, that's when I'll be able to tell a little bit more of, is this more of a concern?
Fair enough. The coordinators both spoke today. Any interesting takeaways for you, starting with Joe Brady?
Yeah, for Brady, I thought, you know, I asked him specifically, listen, how do you – he says it's a new year. Every year is a new year, right, and everything you do. Well, that's true, but he's in a unique situation where even though it's a new year – you really only have two differences on the entire roster on offense. You have the two wide receivers out, Cooper and Matt Collins, and the two wide receivers in, and that is Joshua Palmer, he said, by the way, Joshua, and Elijah Moore. That's it. Everything else is the same. So, like, how do you can build on that. You can really just kind of take all of that and go from where you were. And his response was, look, of course, like, that helps. He said, but if you do that, that's basically becoming too comfortable. You can never do that. You still need to go back and figure out what can you be better at? Where can you go from there? There's always going to be new things, and teams are going to attack you differently. And I like that response, right? It's not, hey, we scored 30 points a game, and we have pretty much everybody coming back, so we're going to go out there, and we're just going to continue to go even higher. It's no, we still have a lot of things we didn't do right last year. Where can we build on those things? What can we do better? So that's what I thought from Joe Brady. As far as Bobby Babich is concerned, a little bit of the same. You know, Bobby's going into his second full year. And he said, you know, last year I sat up here and said, everything that happens to me is going to be the first time happening, right? You're always going to have that first time that you go through something. He said, and that happened. But you still aren't fully prepared for that first time happening until it happens. And he said, you know, this year, one thing that, and he didn't get specific on this. It's very interesting, I thought, and I wish, and I'm sure he wouldn't get specific. But he said, even starting with him.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He believes they have to have a more consistent approach on a weekly basis. And I wonder what exactly that means from game planning. And to me, that's like game planning, right? Okay, like maybe they were trying to do a little too much on a week-to-week instead of being themselves, if that makes sense. That's how I interpret it. He didn't say that, but I maybe got that kind of vibe.
That could mean a few different things.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see, and it will take a little while here, obviously. I mean, not just through the summer in preseason and watching practices, Sal, because I don't know how much of a clue we'll get about what they plan to do with all the different personnel, the new personnel on that side of the ball. It is quite different than on offense because you've got like new guys up front, you've got new guys on the edges and the corner, maybe a new starting safety in Cole Bishop. So there's a lot of moving parts there, and I wonder like how just different it will be. But like I already alluded to, Hoyt and Ogunjobi, like guys that are certainly to varying degrees. I think Hoyt factors in bigger way than Ogunjobi. They're out for 6 weeks, so we don't even get to see that take shape as the season begins. But still, with the new guys up front, I mean, Landon Jackson and Walker in the middle, assuming he's healthy enough to play starting when training camp gets here or even mini camp next week, because I think they've been slow playing him. But there's just a lot of new moving parts up front.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, let me say about Bobby Babich, I think I've probably talked to you guys about this before a little bit. Like, Bobby Babich is going to crush it when he's a head coach someday, if he ever gets that opportunity. He already crushes it as a defensive coordinator. What I mean from that is from a media standpoint. He's just great to listen to. Like, I love listening to him. He's very honest. He kind of gives you a lot more insight and detail, I think, than a lot of people do. And, you know, he was talking about Cole Bishop today, and you're talking about the new parts there. That's one of them, right? And he said, look, like, he missed training camp last year. Those were very valuable reps. And the biggest difference from year one to year two, said Cole is just so much more, it said comfortability. That was the word he used, comfortability with Cole Bishop. And he talked about Taylor Rapp. It's so funny. We had all this talk about, are the Bills going to draft a safety? Remember the whole day thing on draft day, Malachi Starks. And I remember coming out with you guys and Jeremy and Joe, like, I just don't see it. Like, they like their safeties. And a lot of people, a lot of Bills fans think they shouldn't like Taylor Rapp for whatever reason. There's been nothing indicating to me they ever don't like him. In fact, I think they really like him. And today that was reinforced. He said he thought Taylor Rapp had a really good year and said really, really tackled well. Like, that was a big part of having a really good year and what he did, and plus the three interceptions. So that's how they feel about the safety position. I did ask him about Jordan Hancock, which is interesting. I said, you know, how do you balance? This guy has safety, nickel. What do? You have a – how do you get him to one spot because you train him at both? And his response was interesting. He said – I want to try to get this right. I quoted it exactly, I think. He said, we have a very well-thought-out, articulate, time-sensitive plan for him. How about that? So whatever that means for Jordan Hancock going forward, no doubt. And then you have the other things you talk about, which is the other guys getting, you know, part of Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. But, you know, Joey Bosa's hurt. And he said the big thing about that, we won't flinch. When Joey's ready to play, he's ready to play, right? But otherwise, said, that's my job. We have to adjust. You have to adjust all through the year. And that's part of the part of what we have to do right now with these guys.
When Joey's ready to play in late September, early October, he's ready to play, and it's my job to tell him he's not going to play for two more months after that. That's my that's my job to lay that out. All right, very good. Sal, thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You know, if I knew this Bobby Babich, you know what I want to ask him? Like, privately? And I want to ask, like, McDermott this, too. What would you do with Travis Hunter? Hmm. What would the plan be? Wouldn't these maybe this question be a question maybe every team has asked of each other internally? Like, what do you think? What would we do?
What would we do with that?
If we had a great corner and a great receiver in one player, I bet it would – of course it would vary – but I wonder if, like, sort of the nature, so to speak, of the head coach, which side of the ball, you know, he's sort of keen on, would dictate that. Like, Jacksonville has hired an offense. They always seem to hire an offensive coach. Well, that's not true, but they just did. Liam Cohen, and he's talking about Hunter at receiver, and I kind of, you know, believe him. And part of that, well, they traded up for him, second overall. Mm-hmm. You're not going to limit him in any to any extent. I'd like to know sort of how the Bills would have handled Travis Hunter.
Interesting. There's a highlight making the rounds today that I can't imagine you haven't seen of Hunter making an interception. He was playing. How did you? I saw it.
I was mowing
78 times when I got here today.
Oh, wow.
Everyone retweeted it, like all at once. He was covering someone and made I think the ball hit the ground. But
I was reading about
great diving,
politics.
One-handed. Wow, that must have been informative.
I was too immersed in politics news.
Anyway, but he at least a rep as a DB today that I saw a highlight of. So they are using
him. I don't know what I was
assume both sides
doing.
Of the ball.
I had the podcast this morning, ADP chasing, then I cut the grass. Went to lunch with my son in between.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
How's that rider working out? Is that working out all right?
Love it.
So far?
Love it. Yeah.
Are you starting to feel the zen of being on the mower and sort of surveying your kingdom?
No.
No? Okay.
But I'm enjoying, I think of myself as a Zamboni driver.
All right. That works.
Trying to figure out the most mm-hmm. optimal route.
Right.
I'm enjoying that. Just sort of mm-hmm. spending my thoughts on that. Not getting pen and paper out.
Right.
But just like I attack it. If I go around here, maybe I can come up here and sort of attack my lawn like I'm driving a Zamboni, which I kind of am.
Pretty much.
That's what I'm doing. And missing out on Travis Hunter clips. 803-0550, Travis Hunter. Sean McDermott, we've talked about with this Knicks news, making the decision on McDermott, how and when, if ever. And I don't mean that, pejoratively, because obviously he's won a lot and you know the whole thing. So we've got those topics and more. We'll continue after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle-cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold, zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no-sugar-added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.